Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, entitled The Characteristics of King Paranjana, text number 56.
Evam kamasyo samsakta.
Evam kamasyo samsakta.
Karmatma vanchita buddha.
Karmatma vanchita buddha.
Mahishayat yatteta.
Mahishayat yat teita.
Tatta divan bhavatata.
Tatta divan bhavatata.
Ivam kamasu samshakta.
Karmatma vanchita buddha.
Mahishayat yat idhaita.
Tatta divan bhavatata.
Ivam karma shusham shakta.
Karmatma vanchita buddha.
Mahishayat yat idhaita.
Atta divan bhavartata.
Namatma vanchita buddha. Mahishayadhyadihata. Atta divan bhavartata. Evam kama shisham shakta.
Desire, tat, all of that, eva, certainly, Anvavatata. He followed. Translation. Thus being entangled in different types of mental concoction and engaged in fruitive activities, King Paranjana came completely under the control of material intelligence and was thus cheated. Indeed, he used to fulfill all the desires of his wife, the queen. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When a living entity is such bewildered that he is under the control of his wife or material intelligence, he has to satisfy the intelligence of his so-called wife and act exactly according to her dictates. Various shastras advise that for material convenience, one should keep his wife always satisfied by giving her ornaments and by following her instructions. In this way, there will be no trouble in the family. Therefore, for one's own social benefit, one is advised to keep his wife satisfied. In this way, when one becomes the servant of his wife, he must act according to the desires of his wife. Thus, one becomes more and more entangled. In Bengal, it is said that if one becomes an obedient servant of his wife, he loses all reputation. However, the difficulty is that unless one becomes a most obedient servant of his wife, family life becomes disturbed. In the Western countries, this disturbance gives rise to the divorce law, and Eastern countries like India, there is separation. Now this disturbance is confirmed by the new introduction of the divorce law in India. Within the heart, the mind is acting, thinking, feeling and willing, and falling under the control of one's wife is the same as falling under the control of material intelligence. Thus, one begets children in his wife and becomes entangled in so many activities under the control of mental concoctions. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Om Agyanati Mirandasya Janandana Shalakaya Chakshumulitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurudai Namaha Panchakalpatrubhyascha Kripashandubhyayvacha Patitanam Bhavanabhyo Vaishnavayvyo Namo Namaha.
Hare Krishna. So the last two times I gave class, by coincidence, nothing happens by chance in this world, but by coincidence it was on Gadadhar Pandit's appearance day. So naturally the pride, you know, Bhagavatam is a living entity. So I was thinking, yes, finally Krishna's recognized me. Who I am, he's recognized me. He knows I'm intelligent. He knows I'm deep. He's given me a very esoteric part of the Bhagavatam. So I was reveling in pride. And of course we know the Bhagavatam, it's a living entity. You know, the person, Bhagavat, and book Bhagavat. Bhagavatam is a living entity. So, yes, Krishna does know me. Today's verse, he's picked for me especially. So Krishna is the most intelligent, the most compassionate, and he knows the medicine we require to purify the heart. So when one has to speak on such topics, then one becomes purified, and with such an audience it's also purifying many senior devotees here. So Paranjana, the story of Paranjana is an old history. Prabhupada in his purport says old history means we've been undergoing this the prison house Devidam since time immemorial. This is an old history. Paranjan means one who enters the body. One who enters the body. And we're talking about, Prabhupada discusses the nature of Vishayi. Vishayi is one who is attached, too much attached to sense gratification. And so Narada Muni, he's trying to wake up the king. And to do that, he puts a sugar coating on the medicine. But Srila Prabhupada, in his purports, these are in the Sringadeva purports, especially if you're a Grihastha, in the Grihastha ashram. In the Sringadeva purports means many weapons are there. He's giving us the knowledge how to cut the Hridaya Granthi, the knot in the heart. That knot in the heart is not only between male and female, but it is for all embodied souls in this world that wish to enter a material body. This is Paranjan. Paranjan means ones who enters the material body. And it's embarrassing, the process we're forced of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. We're forced to do these things. It's very embarrassing. It takes up a lot of the day, it takes up a lot of time. Even the eating business, what it involves, sleeping, mating and defending, it takes up an enormous amount of time. It's embarrassing. And if one becomes too much involved in these activities, in particular with sense gratification, then one can waste his life, and this is the nature of Vishayi. So Narada Muni was trying to wake up King. So just like that, this story of Paranjan, the king has receiving the story in a less direct way, indirect manner, but it's cutting like the weapons of Nisringadeva. These Nisringadeva purports of Srila Prabhupada, they cut at all our hearts. So in the purport, Prabhupada also talks about avigya saka, avidya shaka. Means unknown friend. We're all into these bodies, and we have an unknown friend. That unknown friend is described as the Supersoul. Krishna is the closest thing to us. The closest thing to us is Krishna. And if we're in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna consciousness is right there for us. But like two birds in a tree, Krishna is waiting. Those birds can't be seen. Two green birds in a green tree. You can't see a green bird in a green tree. So we can't see the Atma and the Paramatma, but they're present in the heart like two birds. And one bird is enjoying the fruits feverishly, like a Vishayi, enjoying sense gratification to the max. And yet, the other bird is waiting. He's waiting. Krishna is waiting. He's waiting for us all to turn to him and face him and form a relationship with him. So this is our situation. We have an unknown friend in the heart, and that friend accompanies us through life upon life in this material world. Not in the spiritual realm, not necessary. We have Krishna in person, but the super soul in this world, the internal representation of the spiritual master or Krishna is represented internally as the super soul, Paramatma, and externally as the spiritual master. So we have so many unknown friends. So the living entity is born into delusion. Ichchadvesha, we're born into delusion. So we don't know this unknown friend. We have to cultivate the relationship. But we also understand that the nature of the living entity is to enjoy. We're enjoying by nature. That's our nature. Anandamoy Vyasat. The nature of the soul is Satchitananda. It's full of knowledge, full of bliss, and it's full of knowledge, it's full of eternality, and it's full of bliss. Anandamoy Vyasat. So as a human being, we have the propensity to develop from Anamoy to Anandamoy. Anamoy means like we're born into baby consciousness, child consciousness. The soul is covered. And Anamoy means we're just interested in foodstuffs. So as a baby, we're just interested in the breast milk, or as a young animal, one may also have that. But as a human being, we're just interested in the mother and what she can provide by food. Ana means foodstuffs. Then Pranamoy, as the soul becomes more conscious, Pranamoy, prana means ear. As one begins to breathe, the lungs use his life, then he notices other living entities. And then Gyanamoy, one receives knowledge, one receives an education, one goes through life. He starts being educated very young in this material world. So Gyanamoy. And then with experience in this world, then we certainly get a taste of Vijnanamoy. But Anandamoy, the fifth situation of the living entity, Anandamoy Vyasat, Anandamoy, this blissful nature of the soul, we're all searching for that. So the nature of the soul is pleasure-seeking, Satchit Ananda. So what to do? Because of these purports, we can understand that the living entity is looking for pleasure, and so he looks for a vehicle to experience that pleasure. In this material world, he becomes embodied, and then the search for the intelligence, which in this analogy is represented by a woman, because they're very similar actually. The intelligence and a woman. The intelligence is always searching for consciousness. It's never separate of consciousness. The soul, when the soul leaves this world, when we leave this body, then mind, intelligence, and ego, the subtle body, they accompany the soul. Whereas the gross body, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, they stay behind in this world to become the stool of an insect or a bird, to become ashes, like that, or to become earth. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. But mind, intelligence, and ether, the subtle body accompanies the soul. So the intelligence is always with the consciousness. So similarly, Paranjan, he's looking for a suitable intelligence. And the analogy is a woman in this world. So man is also always looking for a woman. Isn't it? Woman is looking for a man. Man is looking for a woman. This is a big part of human existence. So like the consciousness and the soul, like the consciousness and the intelligence are always together, man and woman, particularly in this material world, also the spiritual world, male, masculine and feminine energies are searching for one another. So it's an interesting principle. We look for that, and the interesting thing about intelligence and the feminine energy is that both they have a tendency, and most of the time the feminine energy is predominant, especially in this material world, Devidam, and the intelligence amongst the senses, the intelligence is a predominating feature of the human existence. Intelligence is governing the mind and the senses. If we know the analogy of the chariot, the intelligence is represented as the driver of the chariot. And when we look at the cover of Bhagavad Gita, is the chariot, the soul represents the passenger in the chariot, the intelligence is represented by the driver, the mind is the reins, and the horses are the senses. So the intelligence is a controlling factor, whether one's in the material world or the spiritual world. And similarly, if we look in this material world, female energy, Shakti energy, most of the time it's a controlling energy. In this material world, there are many examples. Of course, you know, and also in the spiritual realm, it's the same. We have to look at the energy. Where is that energy coming from? Where is this sex energy coming from? What is the origin? So when we look at the origin of that, we will find the same situation. The feminine energy, Shakti, is very powerful. And of course, a story to illustrate that, I was looking at the life of Jayadev Goswami, and in that there's one particular point in his life where he's writing a very beautiful poem, the Gita Govinda, his most famous work, which Lord Chaitanya would listen to, particularly in the private life with Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy in the Gambira, very intimate pastimes of Radha Krishna, that Gita Govinda. And when Jayadev Goswami was writing, he was getting visions. The visions were coming of the pastimes, so he could write them down. Krishna was appearing in visions and he was writing them down. And he came to the place where Srimati Radharani had been, was exhibiting man, or jealous anger, different types of vipralamba there, you know, purvarag, before one meets the beloved, then man, jealous anger, and then purvavaichicha is when Krishna is actually with Radha, and somehow they feel like one another is, one is departed, like Prem Sarovara pastime, or also prabhas. This is a type of vipralamba. Prabhas means separation from a long distance. So Krishna was undergoing the jealous anger of Srimati Radharani, and he was feeling very dejected. And he was pleading for her to soften her heart. Of course, he'd been enjoying elsewhere, and so she was jealously angry, and she was putting up a fortress. And in that pleading, Jayadev Goswami comes to write that Krishna, and he couldn't write anymore. Krishna, and he got up from this place and he went to take a bath to think about it some more. And what Krishna was giving him the vision to write is, then Krishna bowed down and touched the feet of Srimati Radharani. And because he was seeing Krishna as a predominating moiety, or seeing Krishna as, with awe and reverence, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he couldn't come to the point of writing down that Krishna would pay his obeisances to Srimati Radharani. And the particular line that he was, that came to his heart, he couldn't write. And when he went to took bath, this was in Jagannath, when he went to take his bath, then Lord Jagannath himself appeared. His wife was still at home. He went to take bath, and Lord Jagannath appeared in the form of Jayadev Goswami. And she was a bit bewildered. "Oh, you just returned? You just went?" And he said, "Oh, I forgot something. And then Lord Jagannath, in the form of Jayadev Goswami, taking up his form, he filled in the verse. And the verse was, "Dehi pada palava udaram," which was stating that Srimati Radharani, she was there in jealous man, and Krishna went down and touched her feet. And the translation, of course, is, "My beloved, offer the fresh buds of your enchanting feet as an ornament upon my head, so that the devastating effect of Cupid's poison may be alleviated, and the harsh fire of amorous desires may also be relieved." So we see, and when he came back from his bath, then he came back and his wife said, "Oh, you were just here." She was confused. And he came back from his bath and then he realized, she said, "Yeah, you were just writing a minute ago." And then he realized Jagannath had filled, or the Lord had filled in the place. So it's difficult to accept, but the origin of our predominance in this world. It begins in the spiritual world. And the same in this material world. Devi Dham is a very powerful energy. She carries a trident and she dominates in the form of this material world as Devi Dham, Mahesh Dham, Vishnu's abode. Devi Dham is Durga's realm, the prison keeper, where we are embodied in our Puranjan situation. And then Mahesh Dham is Lord Shiva's Dham, and then Hari Dham is Krishna's Dham. These three Dhams are there. So in this material world, Devi is keeping us here. Feminine energy is very powerful. Expansion of Srimati Radharani. Don't underestimate that power. So by her three modes of material nature, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, then the tridents are pointing at us all the time, keeping us in this realm. She's very powerful. Also Adi Baltic, Adi Daivik, miseries caused by our own minds, Adi Daivik by the Devas, miseries caused by other living entities, Adi Baltic, Adi Daivik, Adi Atmic miseries, also like the trident. They keep us bound up in this material world. But so that feminine energy is very powerful here, Shakti. And you can see, like Lord Shiva, he was a great dancer. And similarly, his wife Parvati, she was also a great dancer. So one time, she was having a competition with him. He would dance some different natyam steps. You know, he's Nataraj, expert. So he danced, exhibiting so many postures with his hands. And then she followed exactly different postures. You know, different mudras, huh? And she followed exactly his dance. Then again she danced. Oh, he danced, sorry. And of course, Lord Shiva, if he wants to dance, he can exhibit so many different postures. He can destroy the earth, Nataraj. So many arms, hands, dancing. Dancing beautifully. And then Parvati, again, she followed the competition and danced also similarly. Exactly. And then he thought, oh, what to do? She's powerful. She can do everything I can do. So then he stood there and he put his foot up. He got his toes and he took out his earring with his toes and threw it on the ground. Then he put his foot down and picked it up and put it back in his ear. And then, of course, she's the most chaste, isn't it? So Parvati, she said, oh my Prabhu. And she didn't exhibit that posture. A woman, her chastity, her shyness and chastity, the shyness and chastity as a controlling force in this world. Men are attracted also to shyness. We're attracted to the shyness of a woman. The natures of a woman are given a fine speech. She's shy. Different qualities are given in the Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada also says that in the guise of shyness, behind that is a lusty intelligence. So shyness, man becomes attracted, but hidden in there is also a lusty nature. Just like the intelligence can be used, has many beautiful qualities, but the intelligence can be, and mind also can be the worst enemy, can be our worst enemy. So, of course, the energy of the feminine energy in this world, when Lord Brahma was born, he looked over the side of the lotus. One story in the Puranas there, he looked over the side of the lotus and he saw Lord Vishnu. And he thought, oh, where did I come from? There's another living entity here. He was sitting on the golden lotus, sitting from the navel of Vishnu. He looks over and there's Lord Vishnu. So he goes and has a discussion. And Vishnu says, oh, you're coming from me, you know, origin. And an argument begins between Brahma and Shiva, or between Brahma and Vishnu. And they're arguing. And meanwhile, Lord Shiva appeared. So Lord Shiva, like he actually appeared also as a Jyoti Lingam. He came from the anger of Brahma. Different descriptions are there. So Lord Shiva appeared at that time. And Lord Brahma
Shiva said, I'll give a boon. And Lord Brahma said, I want you as my son. You know, because he was born from Brahma, Lord Shiva. Therefore, Lord Brahma wanted to be superior. You'll become my son. But Lord Vishnu, he said, I want to become your Shakti. Let me become your power. So Parvati, the feminine energy in this material world, has the potency of Krishna. Very powerful. Devi is very powerful. And we see either in this material world, she is powerful, has that combination with Lord Shiva, or in the spiritual realm, in Haridam, is also being ruled by the feminine energy. So it's no wonder that we're also caught up. Whatever things are going on in this world, we can find the origin, the purified origin with Krishna. So when we come to address our lusty capacity, our inclination towards the erotic, the desires of sexual love, and Brahmachari in particular, we may try and put them aside. We may try and shelve them. We may try and ignore them. But the only way to really deal with them is to understand their origin and their purified state. What is that adiras? What is the original quality of sex desire with Krishna? And then transforming our consciousness to become attuned to that, to become a servant in the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. All the different rasas, from Sakya Ras right up to Madhurya Ras, you know, Sakya Ras, fraternal, parental love, friendship, they're all supportive of Madhurya Ras. So those loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna, particularly friendship, paternality, and conjugal Ras, they exist in Vrindavan. And if we involve our consciousness in that family, in that society, in that nationality, the Braj, the people of the Braj, Vrindavan, we become affiliated with the consciousness of Braj through Srila Prabhupada's literatures, then the satisfaction that we desire in this world for family, for a household, for society, for marriage, for extramarital affairs, which goes on in this age of Kali, the perverted reflection of Krishna's realm is heavy. Dark side in this age of Kali, Prabhupada mentions in the purport that now India is sanctioning divorce. Yeah, separation was there in India, you know, that the man may live in another village if they never got on. But now the situation is such that divorce is also in the big cities of India. Bombay, Delhi, Calcutta, not uncommon. Before the intelligence, of course, comes the ego. The ego is the closest thing to the soul. So because of the misunderstanding of who we are, then we're thinking, I am the enjoyer, ahankara, this false ego, a hunter in my mata. I am and this is mine. I am and this is mine. This is here for my enjoyment. So when we think in that way, then it's very difficult to maintain the relationship of male or female in this world. I am and this is my enjoyment. This is my household. I'm providing. This is my wife. This is my children. Prabhupada said, this is my sex life. So many children. This is my sex life. So one comes to the point where he's faced with the reality of having these desires in this material world. And for most of us in the age of Kali, although India may have some exception in particular, but most of us in the age of Kali, we go through the Grihastha ashram and have a balanced, so-called balanced material life, where we try to engage our senses in Krishna's service. And one has a license to do that. License, a license for some sense gratification. But I was thinking, in India, what does a license mean? If you're driving on the road. I was thinking, Indian driving, you know, driving in India is like Raganuga Bhakti. It's spontaneous. Anything can happen, isn't it? You can drive this side, you can drive that side, you can all of a sudden do something radical, you know. You can drive backwards, all different vehicles, isn't it? This is Raganuga, the license is... But in the West, it's very fixed. You know, you drive on this side, you don't do certain things, the police are there. But the interesting thing is there's more accidents in the West. More motor accidents happen on the Western roads than what happens on the Indian highway. So, interesting. Well, if you consider per capita, per number of people. Occasionally you see a big truck. Of course, Raganuga driving, this spontaneous driving, if you're going to the Himalayas, if you're going to Badrik Ashram, I've just been that side, then sometimes you find they go shooting over into the Ganga. Big truck or bus with many people. So, but in general, a license in marriage, we'll get back to the point, a license in marriage, in Indian life, in Indian culture, the license for marriage, people are a lot more, conduct themselves, the remnants of Vedic culture, they conduct themselves a lot more in line with Vedic culture. Of course, that's changing, as I said, but you can still find remnants, especially in village life, where people, they may be having family life, but they're begetting nice families. This is one of the glories of India. You're still having beautiful family, relatively, not compared with Satya Yuga, but compared with Western culture, then family life is finished. 80%, 60-80% of the children, they don't have the same parents. Their father is left or mother is left. A very difficult situation. Because Prabhupada said the Western world is predominant, like East India, meant the East. East, as we know, he's talking about the eyes and the head. These are the different gates of the body in Paranjana's case. The eyes, the ears, they exist on the, or particularly the eyes, mouth and nose, it exists in the East. And north and south is also there. North meant Mercury, knowledge, is according to Vastu. Mercury, so one could hear through the right ear, one could receive knowledge. Left ear, isn't it? Right ear, one could, it's considered the south. South meant Yamaraj. Yamaraj means Kama Kanda, Gyana Kanda. Narottam Das Thakur, he sings in a song, if one mistakes the pots of poison of Kama Kanda, that means enjoyment in this world according to rituals, Kama Kanda or Gyana Kanda, the pursuit of speculative knowledge, if he considers those two pots of poisons to be pots of nectar, pursuing enjoyment activities, sense gratification, and pursuing speculative knowledge. If one considers Kama Kanda and Gyana Kanda, two pots of poison, to be pots of nectar, then he's no better than an ass or a camel or a dog. Narottam Das Thakur says this. So this is the Western world. It's a pursuit of karma and jnana, devoid of Krishna consciousness. Because that the pursuit is largely the king, or Paranjana in those countries, is departing through the southern gate, the southern gates. The southern gate and the western gate. The western gates are the genital and the rectum, which brings pain. It means sinful life, it means suffering, it means samsara. Again take birth. You know. So, even according to Vastu, the East, you know, the eyes and the ears are there for hearing Bhagavatam. So, fascinating, the story of Paranjana. So there are many examples in the Bhagavatam also that are given of, Prabhupada uses the term in his purports elsewhere, that man can become a dancing dog. Some men become a dancing dog in the hands of the woman. And Lord Chaitanya's a good balanced viewpoint for a Grihastha in particular, or for all of us for that matter, is Raghunath Das Goswami was wanting to leave his household affairs. And so he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was pleading, I want to leave my household affairs. And Lord Chaitanya, he said, no, you should stay here. And then he gave some instruction how to act in householder life. So that instruction was, the householder has to live like a married woman who is keeping a lover. A married woman is keeping a lover. And she does her business in household life very nicely, very expertly, thoroughly, very wonderfully, so that her husband won't be suspicious that she has another lover. So, and in that analogy, that means we may be in household life or we may be different ashrams, but we have to be cultivating Krishna, this other lover. We do our duty in this world according to our ashram, our vana and ashram. We do our duty very thoroughly. We do it very nicely. Externally, that's performed on a very a level where, but internally, we should be always cultivating this relationship with this unknown friend, Agyata Sakha. This unknown friend in the heart. We should be cultivating our relationship for Krishna. Because one by one, just wake up a little bit. They'll all be taken off you. The wife, the body, all the gates of the body, all the senses will go, you know. What was that? Or, you know, you start to wear glasses, which means you have to look inside, you know. One by one, it'll be taken. Taken. If you're not going to give, if we don't give, then better to give, isn't it? If you have a lot of money and you give in charity, it's wonderful. If you're not giving in charity, then don't worry, it'll be taken. Krishna is known as Hari. He also, he owns everything. He will take everything at the time of death. So we're very grateful of Srila Prabhupada's purports to wake us up to the realities of being embodied as Paranjan in this material world. So, do you mind? I was going to read a little bit to you. Something of the spiritual world to give a taste of, because yesterday Pankajangi was talking about family and society and friendship, how we can do without those. Or have, not so much do without, we should keep away. He was talking about material family. So I read something yesterday I wanted to share. If you have a few moments, you can stay. Otherwise, you're welcome to depart. But this is from some writings by Shiva Ramaswamy called Napariyaham. And it's about Gauranga's pastimes in this world. It'll take about 10 minutes, I think. So, but it gives us a taste of relationship and how Krishna becomes dominated by the loving affairs of his devotees. In the exchange of love between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath, the former was in the mood of Srimati Radharani, and the latter in the mood of Lord Krishna. Although both were the same person, the son of Maharaj Nanda, by the influence of Yoga Maya, one was the Vishaya of love, Jagannath, and the other was the Ashraya, or love, of love, Lord Chaitanya. The festival Rath Yatra portrays the meeting between Krishna and the gopis at Kurukshetra. After a long separation, the Yadavas and the Brajavasis met at a festival to celebrate the solar eclipse. Taking advantage of the opportunity, the gopis met Dwarka's king in a solitary place. Her heart beating with excitement, Radhika drew near Hari. Standing among her friends, She petitioned him with a camphor-scented smile. Please come back to Vrindavan. Let us revive the cherished pastimes of our youth. After seeing Lord Jagannath upon his cart, the same Radha Bhav arose in Lord Chaitanya. He sang the following song with great feeling. That very personality who stole away my heart during the youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights in the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of Malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover, yet still my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to the place on the bank of the Rava, under the Vatasi tree. That is my desire. In the exchange of love between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Radha, and Lord Jagannath, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's love proved the stronger. Thus, during the festival of Ratha Yatra, his Radha Bhav dominated the course of events. Lord Jagannath's cart appeared to be pulled by the daichas towards Gundicha, but in reality, it was moving forward to Vrindavan by the power of Gaura's love. Turning to Lord Jagannath, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exclaimed, "O my beloved, you are the same Lord Krishna of bygone days, and I am also the same Radharani of Varshana. We are meeting once again, as we met in the beginning of our lives." Lord Jagannath smiled and seemed to say, "Yes, that is so. We are together once again." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "Even though we are both the same persons, still my mind is attracted to Vrindavan. Dham, I wish you would place your lotus feet there once again." Jagannath replied, "But we are here now. Why should we delay enjoying our love by going to Vrindavan?" Looking at him from the corner of his eyes, Lord Chaitanya humbly replied, "Kurukshetra is filled with elephants, excited horses, crowds of people, and the loud rattling of chariots. It is busy, noisy place with no purpose other than the observance of ritualistic ceremonies." But he continued, "Vrindavan is overflowing with features conducive to exchanges of love. Must they remind you of the boundless sweetness that permeates its atmosphere? It subdues the majesty of Vaikuntha. Vrindavan's secluded gardens, nectarian waters, rolling hills, frolicking deer, chirping birds, and humming bees abound in limitless bliss. How can we find such ever-new happiness here?" Remembering the transcendental atmosphere of Vrindavan, Jagannath felt a rising urgency to be there. Casting his eyes here and there, he surveyed the surrounding area. "Here at Kurukshetra," commanded Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "you're dressed like a royal prince, armed with dangerous weapons and surrounded by great warriors. But in Vrindavan, you appeared like an ordinary cowherd boy, accompanied by your mischievous flute and decorated with forest flowers." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped his dancing and gestured to his lover, "I must confess that compared to the happiness we enjoyed in Vrindavan, not a drop of happiness exists in Kurukshetra." Lord Jagannath stopped his cart, his heart yearning for the supreme pleasure of Braj. "Therefore come back to Vrindavan, enjoy again the pastimes we once shared. If you do, my aspiration will be fulfilled." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words inspired Lord Jagannath to return to Vrindavan. As the cart started for Gundicha, the roadside gardens enlivened him further and his heart yearned to don the robes of a cowherd. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood Lord Jagannath's desire for Braj. To further increase that longing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted a verse spoken by the gopis at Kurukshetra and explained its meaning in detail. "Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen under the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that those lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs." Responding to those nectarian words, Lord Jagannath said, "You asked me to place my feet in Vrindavan, but now you propose that I treat you like a yogi and place my lotus feet in your mind? How is that?" Absorbed in the mood of Sri Radha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Most people consider the mind one with the heart, but because my mind is never separated from Vrindavan, I consider my mind one with Vrindavan. My mind is already Vrindavan, and since you like Vrindavan, please place your lotus feet here. I would deem that your full mercy." so as not to misunderstand, Jagannath said humorously, "And what will happen if I do not place my feet at your Vrindavan-like mind?" Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "O Lord of my life, kindly hear my true submission. My home is Vrindavan. I wish to be with you there. But if I cannot, it will be very difficult for me to maintain my life." As his cart slowly rolled along, Lord Jagannath teased Radha, "I sent Uddhava to teach you how to remember me. Have you not practiced his teachings? If you have, then why should you leave your body?" Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, somewhat cross at Sri Krishna's attitude, stopped dancing. As he addressed Lord Jagannath, among the devotees and others present, only Swarup Damodar could understand the transcendental natures of this exchange. To others it appeared like some sort of dramatic performance, although Swarup Damodar Goswami did not reveal these secrets. By the mercy of Rupa Goswami, Rupa Goswami understood them. Later he distributed them to the world. "My dear Krishna, when you were staying in Mathura, you sent Uddhava to teach me speculative knowledge and mystic yoga. Now you are speaking the same thing, but my mind does not accept it. There is no place in my mind for jnana yoga or dhyana yoga. You know me very well, and yet you continue to instruct me in this way. To tell the truth, you are wrong to do so." Lord Jagannath teased Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further, saying, "Dhyana yoga and jnana yoga are approved systems for focusing the mind on a desired goal. Why do you reject them?" In the mood of Sri Radha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu argued the gopis' case. The milkmaids of Vrindavan were spontaneously attracted to Krishna. They did not need a mechanical system to focus their minds. Yogic practices were a distraction for them, for they were unable to divert their minds from Sri Krishna, even if they desired to. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "I would like to withdraw my consciousness from you and engage it in material activities. But even though I try, I cannot. I am naturally inclined to you only. Therefore, my instruction to meditate on you is ludicrous. Please do not torture me like this." Considering the unfortunate situation of Radha's gopi friends, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed his right hand on his hip and said defiantly, "The gopis are not like mystic yogis. They will never be satisfied by meditating on your lotus feet. On the contrary, because your teachings on meditation are a kind of duplicity, they make the gopis even more angry with you." Appearing to Lord Jagannath's kind disposition, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concluded, "These gopis have fallen into great ocean of separation, and they are being devoured by a timangila, a fish, of their ambition to serve you. O Nath, the gopis are your pure devotees. Please deliver them from their sorrow. They have no desire for liberation, for they are already liberated from the ocean of material existence." So it goes on a little more, but we'll finish there. I just wanted to bring to one point, one paragraph here. Seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his beloved Radha, Lord Jagannath said, "O Radhika, I am always subservient to the loving affairs of the Brajabasis. But of all the Brajabasis, only you can fully control me with your love. What can I say? My separation from you and my residence in distant places have occurred due to my great misfortune." To pacify her heart, Krishna explained the psychology of separated lovers. When a woman and man are separated from one another, they have no inclination to live. Still, they continue to live for each other's benefit. Loving couples know that if one of them hears of the other's death, he or she will die. Therefore, they continue to live despite their misery. O Radha, O perfection of love, such a loving couple who live only for each other's welfare will certainly meet again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Aki. Jagannath, he. So I just wanted to bring up that relationship, family, loving affairs, society. We need that, and it does exist. And that we're people of the Braj, Vrindavan. This is the Goswamis are taking us to Vrindavan. Prabhupada is taking us to Vrindavan. Or Navadvip, we're people of the Mayapur. This is our family. This is our society. This is our friends. This is our... So we have to have that. So thank you very much for listening. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah. Does anybody have any questions or comments? It's already 9 o'clock. Dhyana gamay phu.
The intensity of this pastime between Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya is so erudite and how do you say? I mean, it's all very clear, but it's also very, very difficult to understand from the point of view of someone in my condition, my very much conditioned life, my conditioned soul. So we can appreciate that you say, can you hear?
Yeah,
there you go. We can appreciate the reference there of man, woman, lover, beloved. But how do we enact that in our dealings with each other, with devotees? How do we cherish and appreciate so much the devotees? I'm giving a class tomorrow to the Russians, and I was writing notes this morning, and so I was trying to think what is the essence. It's about family life. It's about someone, Paranjan goes off looking for some enjoyment apart from his wife. But in Krishna consciousness, we have a threesome in marriage. Krishna is there, the husband and the wife are there, and Krishna is always observing how the wife and the husband are treating each other, how they're behaving with each other. So we have so many obligations in material life that are mundane. And then we also have spiritual obligations when we take care of someone in spiritual life. The husband is taking care of the wife is taking care of them. So how do we relate to these very intense pastimes and put ourselves in a position of appreciation when we're so far away from even just treating our husbands and wives as, you know, as cherished objects, as gifts from Krishna. How do we do that?
Very nice question.
Of course, the fine household life in this age of Kali is very difficult. We're all flawed and not very intelligent, not very strong. We don't have good health. We don't have a good memory. To find household life, perfect household life, is very difficult. But very simple, simple answer. Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple, isn't it? But we can't really save other people unless we save ourselves. And if you have a family, say you're, for instance, you're in the Ganga and a boat it capsizes. First you have to save yourself, and then one can make some attempt to save one's wife and children, and then outside of that sphere, outside of that responsibility we have taken on as a grihastha, then one may attempt to reach out and save other people. But the first responsibilities remain in that close family situation. So many people, they are involved as neophytes. We may get involved in trying to save other people, but our own family may be drowning. One simple answer. But these high pastimes of Jagannath, although they're very esoteric and high, one has to be perhaps something intellectual. This description might be a little intellectual, but actually the simplicity of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is the answer to all of those things, to perfection in your household life and the home front, to perfection in your society and family, your society at large, to country. This chanting of Hare Krishna is very simple. Even though it's very simple, it's very esoteric and very deep and very, it's the sadhana and the sadhya, it's the process and it's the goal. It's the prayojan, is also there. It's a jugal mantra. It's involving the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna in great intimacy. Hari and Hara, it's Krishna and Radha. And when you chant it in your household, it's a very simple answer. But we have to take care of the duties also, you know, of providing and providing care and loving relationship in the family in a balanced way, and not be fanatical about saving the world if we're not taking care of our family to the effect that they're also on board the boat or swimming. Is that some? There were sort of two parts to your question. Thank you for a nice question. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.